It's time for the Podcateer Podcast.
Good morning, Christopher Robin.
Oh, good morning, Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, well, glad to meet you. Name's Tigger. T-I-double-G-R. That's spelled Tigger.
Now, isn't this a clever disguise?
It's the Podcateer Podcast with your host, Mark Tanner. Take it away, Mark.
This could be about anything. And if you're like me, you wait and see. For I've got curiosity.
Hello, Podcateers. Hey, this is kinda episode 32A. I don't want to call it 33 because I'm putting together episode 33, but it isn't going to be done for a couple of days. I just haven't had time to put it together right. So what I'm going to do here tonight is I'm going to put the parts 2 and 3 of Dave Smith's retirement after this, and that'll be the episode. And in a couple of days, you'll get the episode 33. So my apologies for it taking a little while to get it out here. But I'm working a lot of hours at work and just hard to put it together. So I hope you enjoy what I'm going to put out here today. And if you don't enjoy it, I apologize. And hopefully you'll enjoy episode 33 when it comes. So you take care and listen to this, and I'll come back after the Dave Smith stuff and wrap it up. So here we go with parts 2 and 3 of Dave Smith's retirement.
Thank you, Stephen. I'll put this in here. I am so delighted that all of you came tonight to help me celebrate my retirement. I've always, in the last month or so, had a lot of people congratulating me on my retirement. I started thinking, is it really congratulations? They're saying goodbye, good riddance. So maybe that's not really the word, but I think it'll be fun to have a little more rest and sleep later in the morning. And but they've got a computer at the office for me, and I'll still plan to go down. Already Becky set up a tour for me to do on Thursday. So, so I don't think I'll be going far. What I thought I would share with you this evening, I jotted down a bunch of my favorite memories, and I just thought you might like to hear some of them tonight. So we'll go through some of my favorite memories. They're not in any particular order, and they cover pretty much 40 years of my career. We'll start with hunting out of iWorks in a tiny little office tucked away in the ink and paint building at the studio and listening to him talk about the birth of Mickey Mouse. Purchasing a collection of 40 1940s and 1950s cartoon posters for a total of $100. As you know, these posters now sell for several thousand dollars a piece. Going to lunch in Napa, California with Diane Disney Miller and her husband Ron, and they invited Dorothy Disney Pewter and her husband to join us. Dorothy was the daughter of Walt's brother Herb. Being surprised when Lou Debney walked into the archives one day with an old gentleman and introduced him to me as Raymond Disney, Walt's older brother, who was in his 90s. And hadn't been to the studio in decades since he had a falling out with Walt and Roy. He was, I'll digress, he was an insurance man. And for a number of years, he handled the insurance for the company. But the company grew so big that it was pretty hard for the company to rely on a single insurance agent to handle all of the insurance for the company. And so Walton Roy took the business away from Ray, and of course he didn't appreciate that, and so they didn't talk for years and years and years. Walt never talked to him again, and I don't know if Roy did either. Visiting Ruth Disney Beecher at her home in Portland, Oregon, and interviewing her on tape. On noticing an organ in her living room, I commented how I enjoyed organ music. "Let's go get some pizza," she said, and we went to a nearby pizza parlor that featured a pipe organ. Who would have thought that I would be having pizza with Walt's sister? Being the first Disney contact for a number of kids who were Disney fans and aspired to work for the company, I encourage such kids as Tony Anselmo, Ty Urban, Stephen Clark, yes. Stacia Martin, Michael Manny, Jeff Curdy, Ryan March, Les Perkins, Russell Brower, Jason Sorrell, Stephen Bagnini, and David Mumford, all of whom became valued Disney employees and cast members. Having been excited to receive letters on official Disney letterhead when I was young, and then being thrilled myself to be given permission to write letters on that same letterhead while I was a consultant in 1969, first seeing my entry in the Disney Studio telephone directory. Photographing Spin and Marty as a kid when they were making a Disneyland public appearance. Then as the archivist, years later, getting to know them. Attending the Disneyland 25th anniversary party, a private party at Disneyland, and talking to Don DeFore, the actor, about his Silver Banjo restaurant in Frontierland. Sitting next to famed saxophonist Kenny G at one Pirates of the Caribbean movie premiere. And next to Governor Schwarzenegger at the next. Thrilling to the inspiring candlelight procession almost every year. Looking through Disney comic books with comic book fan Governor George Pataki of New York. Visiting with actor Ike Eisenman on his lunch hour almost every day when he was filming Escape to Witch Mountain. He wanted to be an animator. Going into the studio, which was closed on the day after Roy O. Disney died, to keep an appointment with a man who had found Ruth Disney's grammar school graduation book in the basement of a Portland house and acquiring it for the archives. Prominently featured in the book are two drawings by Walt Disney. We met former president of Disneyland bring his whole Disneyland executive staff up to the archives to learn about the park's history for the 50th anniversary. Having lunch with lottery winners in Walt's apartment at Disneyland with the Disneyland executive chef. Being the first speaker at a series of special Club 33 members dinners at Disneyland. Getting to know Ralph Kent and Milt Albright, two pack rats who saved lots of Disneyland memorabilia and turned it over to the archives.
Any other volunteers?
Installing Walt's offices in the Walt Disney Story at Disneyland and being able to take groups of Walt Disney Story cast members into the offices for orientations. Seeing Ronald Reagan, Bob Cummings, and Art Linkletter at the 35th anniversary of Disneyland, and then getting to know Art well as he became a Disney legend and sailed with me on a Disney cruise. Being able to meet with most of the Disney park's original designers, hearing their stories. Sitting in Roy O. Disney's office and hearing him reminisce about the early days. going to Disneyland several days pre-opening to have tours behind the scenes through all the attractions, participating in radio and TV interviews for numerous press events, the biggest one being the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World right here. I did 45 interviews in 3 days. A number of times having Disneyland President Cynthia Harris run up and give me a hug. She was very friendly. Becoming an unofficial buyer to help stock the Disneyana shop with old Disneyana items when it first opened. Being photographed in the archives with Disney Comics legends Carl Barks and Floyd Gottfredson. Working as an actual costume Disneyland cast member at several cast Christmas parties on Big Thunder, Pirates, Autopia, Small World, and even the Disneyana shop. Being able to stand one day on top of the Matterhorn with its expansive view. Finding the graves of Walt Disney's maternal grandparents in the Ponciana Cemetery in Paisley, just 50 miles north of here. Being on Walt Disney World's Main Street the day they paved it in 1971. Riding twice on Walt's Grumman Gulfstream airplane from Burbank to Orlando, and even sitting in Walt's seat. He had a phone to the pilot right next to him, and an airspeed indicator and an altimeter so he could keep track on what the plane was doing. Getting to meet and talk with all nine of Walt's nine old men of animation and becoming special friends with Frank Thomas and Ollie Johnston, who used the archives as an office after they retired. Riding on Ward Kimball's train in Alhambra and on both of Ollie Johnston's trains in La Cañada Flint Ridge and in Julian. Being honored with the Disney Legend Award in 2007 and realizing that I had had the opportunity to know or work with almost all the previous 200 legends. The eerie feeling the first time I was alone in Walt Disney's offices, realizing all the fantastic work that had occurred there. Going to Long Beach on a very foggy evening to attend a cast preview of Disney on Parade. Remember that? That was before the ice shows, and it was in arenas, sports arenas around the country, and it was just done on the floor of the sports arena. And people said, this isn't Disney on ice, this is Disney on wood. But the shows were fun. Being invited by Don Dorsey to watch a 3 a.m. dress rehearsal of Illuminations right here at Epcot in 1988. Taking friends and colleagues on my Walt tours to sites where he lived and worked, ending with dinner at his favorite restaurant, the Tam O'Shanter. Yeah. Being alone on Main Street in Disneyland Paris on the day before the grand opening and posing for a picture with Mickey Mouse when there was nobody else in the park. Finding a unique stash of 1930s cartoon posters in the attic of the studio's casting building. Speaking at an early morning cast update at the Disney MGM Studios, now Disney's Hollywood Studios, while installing the One Man's Dream exhibit, only to be shocked by news of the 9/11 happenings in New York. Working with Paul Pressler on the opening of Disney's California Adventure to bring back people who had been at the opening of Disneyland 46 years earlier. Getting in line for Star Tours at a special pre-opening Walt Disney Imagineering party and finding myself standing behind Michael Eisner and George Lucas. Having Michael Jackson visit the archives in costume when he was filming Captain EO for Disneyland. And I think one of the most exciting, as a teenager, speaking with Walt Disney at Disneyland around 1956. Wow. Some of my favorite memories.
going to lead off that easy on the last one. I think you need to tell that story.
Oh, okay. Some of you have heard my Walt story before, but I'll tell it to you. I was at Disneyland, and I think it was in 1956. I went with my brother and my cousin. We were teens. I would have been about 15 years old. And I saw Walt Disney walking through the park. Now, up until this time, his name was well known. Everybody knew who Walt Disney was, but nobody knew what he looked like. It was only after he started appearing on the television show that started in 1954 that people started recognizing him. And it made it a little more difficult for him to get around without being stopped by people and asked for autographs and so forth. So anyway, I walked along behind him for a while to see if anybody was noticing him. And every once in a while, you'd see a father poke his son and say, "That's Walt Disney over there." And as you heard from Stephen earlier, I am an autograph collector, mostly historical autographs. And I thought it'd be kind of fun. I mean, even at age 15, I was collecting these things. So I thought it'd be kind of fun to have a Walt Disney autograph. So I checked in my pockets that I didn't have any writing implements, no pen or pencil or anything. And so Walt was going into through the castle into Fantasyland at that time. And so I ran up ahead of him and went into the first shop that was available, which happened to be Merlin's Magic Shop. And the only thing they had available was a 2-foot-long pencil that wrote in multicolors. But that was my only choice, so I bought that and went running back outside. Well, by this time, Walt had been stopped by another family, and they were taking his picture with their kids. So I took a picture, too, of him posing with somebody else's kids. And as a shy teenager, I still kick myself today for not asking if I could get my picture with him. But anyway, I asked him if I could get his autograph, and he politely declined. He said that once he started signing autographs, he got this huge crowd around him, and he never got his work done. So he told me to write him at the studio, and he would send me the autograph, and I did, and he did, and I still have it today.
Exactly, a new kind of flight of wine. Well, anyway, Dave, thank you so much for sharing those memories. And when you think about 40 years of archiving the history and legacy and heritage of the Walt Disney Company, it really is, if you stop to think about it, a truly monumental task, starting something from scratch. And I can only imagine, we didn't really talk about your little eavesdropping incident at UCLA where the Disney executives came in and were talking about, they wanted to do some kind of an archive or something like that, and Dave's, heard that and submitted his, proposal for the archives. And it took a little while for it to get accepted, but it did. And, in June of 1970, sort of, coming in and having the daunting task of, having to corral almost 50 years of Disney history by yourself, but it's also cool you have to sit in Walt's office suite to do it, to start at least, right? And the one thing that I just think is remarkable when you think about it is that Dave and the archive staff, the company over the years has grown at such a remarkable rate, and the archive staff has not grown at the same rate that the company's grown. So, in 1970, he's got 50 years of Disney history to collect, from animation and parks to live-action films and consumer products, collectibles, all that. And then right when he thinks maybe he's about to have time to catch his breath, then we open, Walt Disney World opened pretty quickly. Then, Tokyo Disneyland, Disney Channel launched. Then Michael Eisner came in and the company exploded. And then all of a sudden there was ABC and ESPN and more parks and more movies and more animation. And it just is remarkable that Dave's been able to keep up with it all through his network of friends, some of whom are here in this room, that really do help make it possible to keep this archives the valuable tool and resource that it is for everyone in the Walt Disney Company, and all of the great content that you all enjoy, whether it's through D23 or through the books that you buy from Disney Editions or whatever experiences you have sometimes at the parks or elsewhere. Even when you see a movie like Tron, the filmmakers for Tron came into the archives, and fortunately we had kept a lot of great assets, art, and things from that film. And they did their research in the archives to prepare Tron Legacy. So the archives is such an incredibly important part of the Walt Disney Company. And there's only one man that we can truly thank for making it all happen, and that's Dave Smith. So I'd like to raise a glass to Dave. Congratulations on 40 years of archiving the history of the Walt Disney Company, and we are greatly thankful to you. Cheers, Dave. I'd also like to point out that Dave's a really generous guy, and he wanted to make sure that everyone in this room got an autograph. So it was his idea to do the autograph cards, and he signed each one of them obviously himself. They're all authentic, no auto pens or anything like that. So that's why we did that, but that's not to say he's not willing to sign autographs and take pictures and meet and greet and whatnot. So there's a room that we have over here on the side for afterwards if you'd like to come visit with Dave, and I would recommend that you at least go check the room out, because there's a phenomenal view of Spaceship Earth from the picture window, so you might want to check that out. What else do I have? I think I have some housekeeping sort of things that I want to talk about, right? To make sure that everyone is at La Hacienda tomorrow morning at 8:30. The park will be open at the front, so if you have your credential, there will be guest relations hosts who, Kelly.
Our guys.
Oh, your guys.
The blue and white guys. Will be.
Oh, the blue and white guys. Mm-hmm. Kelly's team. By the way, Kelly, fantastic dinner, fantastic event. Thank you. We wouldn't be able to do these events without our partners at Walt Disney World, and Kelly and Melissa have been great partners, so, thank you. Anyway, there's that. And is there something else I'm supposed to say? Or is that my only... just the next door thing? Okay. So, again, thank you very much for being here, and, hopefully you'll take a few moments to visit with Dave in the next room, and take your time, relax, and enjoy finishing up your meals and your wine and whatnot, and we have more fun in store for you guys tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Okay, Podcateers, that's all for this abbreviated additional Scabbed On episode 32A of the Podcateer podcast. And I'll be back, like I said, in a couple of days with the real episode 33. My apologies for the delay, and hope this made up for it. Hope you enjoyed Dave Smith's retirement. Dave Smith, by the way, in case you don't know, ran the Disneyland or Disney archives pretty much as long as there's been a Disney archives. And if there's a crowned prince of Disney trivia, it's Dave Smith. So I hope you enjoyed today's show, and I hope you'll be back with us in a couple of days. Watch the feed. It'll show up. And until it does, y'all have a magical Disney week, and we'll see you at the park.
When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you.
David Cook, you've just become the newest American Idol. What are you going to do next?
I'm going to Disney World!
Dreams come true.
Hello, Podcateers. I hope you enjoy today's show, and we'll come back next week and see what crazy stuff Mark has cooked up. Until then, have yourself a magical Disney week. This is Carrie Foppin signing off.
Podcateer is in no way associated with the Walt Disney Company or any of its affiliates. Mickey Mouse copyright 1928, The Walt Disney Company. Any similarity to Disney characters or real persons without satirical purpose, the act of reviewing products, or reporting on newsworthy events, is entirely coincidental. This podcast is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license. For more information, visit our website at www.podcateer.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Disneyland has now concluded its normal operating day.
Yeah, folks, and me and my pals hope you had a swell time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mickey?
Uh-huh.
It's that time.
What time is that, Minnie?
Oh, Goofy?
What? Oh.
Now it's time to say goodnight to all our company. M-I-C.
See you real soon.
So is Mickey Mouse.
K-E-Y.
Why?
Because we like you.
M-O-U-S-E.
Careful getting home.
For your shopping convenience, this evening, Main Street will remain open for an additional half hour.